Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you ready, girl?
Jimmy, yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening out there. You're waking up with Linda McShann. We're talking about our cross-country connect today. You know, it's nice when you can meet people from all over. That's from everywhere. And they want to come in and care and share with you. We have a person coming on that was a Californian. She left us and she moved to Arkansas. Karen Berg with Karen Berg Life Coaching. She's going to come on, and we're going to be talking about moving forward and the ways to move forward. But before we do that, let me share something with you. There is a great difference between simply living a long life and living a full and rewarding life. What's really important is how much rich texture and color we can add to our lives during our stay here on Earth, however long that stay may be. Quality is the true value, not quantity. It's always about the quality of life that we have to use to go through, thinking of ourselves, starting from within, and letting it reverberate out outwardly. It's all in, out. It's all up to you. So before we get going, I'm just going to play a song, okay? Sit back and relax, and let's have a great time. This is Cross Country Connect.
It's been a while, I'm not who I was before. You look surprised, your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back, God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy, I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? a brand new kind of me. It took a long, long time to get here. It took a brave, brave girl to try. It took one too many excuses, one too many lies. Don't be surprised, don't be surprised if I talk a little louder, if I speak up when you're wrong, if I walk a little taller. I've been under you too long. If you notice that I'm different, I'm taking personal things. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. It ain't bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Oh, it took a long,
feels real good when you make those changes and when you learn more about yourself. And we have Ms. Karen Berg of Life Coaching on the line with us that can tell us about moving forward and the ways of getting there. Karen, are you on the air? We're waking up with Linda Mac Shan with Cross Country Connect.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and hello, hello, hello to you. Thank you. I miss you. I've been watching you. Your face, you're glowing, you're smiling, you're into that naturistic mood. Karen, welcome in. We're going to have a lot of fun today on moving forward here, and you're going to tell us how to get there. I have some things about accomplishment, the nature lover in you. We're going to talk about the artist date. I'm dying to find out about that. Letting go creativity and changing. Yes.
Yes, Miss Linda. And it's good to hear your voice, too. And it's been a while since we've talked, and that is because I moved across the country.
Yes.
And that was across four states, from California to Arkansas. And since then, lots of change for me personally. And I took my own life coach advice, excuse me, and got unstuck in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, a lot of change all at once is sometimes hard to maneuver. And so, you know, while we've all been going through the constraints and difficulties and downtimes and isolation of the pandemic, I voluntarily sort of compounded that for myself by going to a strange place where I'm really starting over. And so I saw it as a new beginning, and I was excited about that, but I've also, of course, swung to the other side now and experienced what happens when you truly turn your life upside down and start something new. And, you know, I've always had a romantic notion about that, I guess because I watch too many movies.
Okay.
But, you know, the heroine is the one who perseveres and pushes through the difficult times to come out ahead and victorious. And by the end of the movie, we're all cheering for her because she's, you know, persevered and gotten through the hard times, and it's a happy ending. And, you know, we walk away feeling great for her and renewed and inspired by her story. And I've been sort of writing my own story since I started the life coaching practice and really started studying this idea of change and what it's like to revisit your inner life when you've been living in a place where you feel mostly stuck. Like, in other words, how many times have we met? We've met like 6 or 7 times, Linda, and we've talked about how people get into these routines and then they don't necessarily live their best life. And we're not joking about that. We're talking about intentionally, like, leaning in, all those things you hear about, you know, like living without fear and walking confidently and, you know, feeling like your best self. And that's hard to do because it's easy to slide into, complacency and routine. And I've struggled with the concept of, over the past year, while I've really been reading about this, studying it, and trying to live it out in my own life, I've struggled about the balance between some routine is good and feels normal and gives you a sense of balance and restoration and continuity in your life, and the tension that comes from needing to continue to make change and push yourself outside your comfort zone and explore things that you haven't before and keep growing. And so it's that tension somewhere in the middle that I'm not sure about. I mean, I pushed for so hard and so long to make change, and then I made this dramatic, drastic change, and then I find myself yearning for a routine and, kind of commonplace activity, but I've still got this driving force, something that's pushing me to explore and to get out and to try new things and to not slide back into that, this is just my little, I used to call it a hamster path.
Mm-hmm.
The hamster path, you know, just running the same little routines over and over again. So there's comfort in a hamster path. There definitely is. And a lot of us are content to live that way our entire lives. And in truth, every time I've started over in a new place, I have started a new hamster path because it's in the comfort of routines that you find, you know, familiar faces, familiar patterns, a sense of belonging, all those things. And this latest swing back to Arkansas, I guess, was my sort of chapter 3 in the story of my life, which is, can you go home again? The first third of my life, from the time I was actually 2 years old, I was an infant when I moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. I was raised in Little Rock and, you know, went to, schools all the way through 12th grade and then also through my undergraduate years in college at the University of Arkansas here in the state. And then I left to pursue adventure and career and life at age 29. So that was, almost 30 years. And then found myself in California. I lived in both Southern California and Northern California. And the next 31 years, the second chapter of my life is how I'm looking at it now. The second, third, if I'm lucky enough to live to 90. So 30 to 61 years of age, I lived in California. And then this year, and I'll be 62 in August, I moved back to Arkansas, having come full circle to this chapter 3 or act 3, where I'm looking at the next however many years I'm lucky enough to get, and what does that look like for me in terms of you know, the kind of work that I want to do, the kind of people that I want to surround myself with and to love and to be loved by and to see me into my old age, and what does retirement look like, and what does my adventure life look like, and what is it that really, what's really important? And so that was kind of a profound set of changes, that along with exploring the tension between routine and change and the idea of starting chapter 3 or act 3 and the story of my life and how am I going to write that story. And then also just taking each day, a day at a time, and appreciating what's in front of me. And so I could not prepare today at all for this talk. It's been 6 months since we talked. I thought, I just don't have a topic. And I threw the artist date at you because I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because there were two tools in the toolkit over this past year when I've been going through all of this change, and both of them were are these ways of getting in touch with your values and your heart and your creativity. And all of it, these are tools that were put forth by an author called Julia Cameron, who wrote a book called The Artist's Way. And she's since written several renditions of the book, and I reread it, you know, probably 2 years ago, which was part of this life design journey that I was on. But in The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron talks about two main tools, and one is the journal that you do every day. She calls it morning pages, and you just, you know, write in a journal freely and just kind of pour out your heart. And that habit of doing that every day can create profound connections with yourself and helping you, you know, just be in touch with your feelings and living intentionally in a way that you don't, if you don't kind of tap into your subconscious. It allows you to really kind of tap into your subconscious, I believe. And then the second part of that is the creative life, which is the whole book, you know, the book is called The Artist's Way, but the whole idea of artist dates, which are creating intentional dates with yourself for at least an hour. And you can do it as often as you want, but she recommends, you know, at least once a week and sometimes more, where you spend quiet time, me time, creative time, just having fun or just making something or just doing something to stir your soul. And you'd be surprised how many people over the years, and some of my clients that I've worked with in my life coaching practice, how many people just aren't comfortable with spending time just having fun by themselves, or even deliberately or intentionally spending an hour just allowing themselves to explore their creative life. And so when I was thinking about how I could prepare today and I really don't have a topic, I was thinking, you know, if Linda and I just explore this idea of giving yourself an hour to be creative and to see where that takes you and allow you to just be in your own, whatever it is that you see as creative or that makes you happy or that brings you joy in a creative way. And how does that change your perspective? Where do those explorations lead you? And so since I've moved, I guess I can share with you that I feel like the artist date has become more of a way of life for me. And I'll say why. The reason why is because everything is new here. And even though I grew up here and spent 30 years here, I'm seeing everything with fresh eyes. And I feel like every single day for me has just been living in the moment and then conscientiously and consciously, intentionally taking an hour maybe a day, or several times a week at least, just to explore the visual things that make me happy or that I want to put in my life or that I want to make a part of my future. And so, for example, I have a new house. I was able to buy a house in Arkansas. And so I, you know, have spent time, you know, with decor and furnishing it and just adding little touches here and there. Although, by the way, I've spent very little money. This whole move has been such a blessing because I put very little money into the move, very little money into any kind of furniture, very little money into anything, really, and it just kind of all fell into my lap. And so these other things that I'm adding are just kind of little finds here and there, you know, flea market, you know, little things that make me happy here and there, because I'm not – I made it a practice, and I think I told you about this when I explained my rules for abundant living, my simple rules for abundant living months ago, is that I'm in a minimalist mode. I really don't want to collect things in this chapter 3, but I do want to only put things in my life that make me happy. So this process of establishing a new home and only putting the things in it that make me happy is kind of like that, who's the declutter lady that says spark joy? television show, you know, don't put anything in your life or get throw it away or toss it if it doesn't spark joy. So I've been very careful about what I let back in this place and in my life. So finding things has been fun and just little touches here and there. But other things that I have done on these hardest dates, for example, through the exploration of my own simple rules for abundant living, which I'll share again later. I think we've talked about them before, but I'll share those at the end of the show. But one of those things is I realized how important music is to me in my life, and I didn't have a place or a system to put music in my life in any kind of significant way the past 7 or 8 years, and even when I was raising my kids, we were just too busy. So one, and now I have the space all to myself, right? So I not only have my speakers and then added a sound bar, and you know, but I now went and bought, and it's not very expensive, but a little turntable that has that hooks up to the Bluetooth speakers, and when I'm at a flea market or an antique store, I might look for a favorite album that brings back memories or that allows me to, you know, feel my in touch with my, you know, the things that move my soul, and different kinds of music have always done that for me. And the speakers, by the way, also are digital, the other ones that I have, so that I can hook them up to my phone. Of course, I can play my YouTube playlist. But buying the vinyl and having a turntable and seeing the covers of the albums and playing them through the Bluetooth speakers and doing that like on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning when the doors are open and the breeze is blowing and the wind is cool and the birds are chirping has just been bliss for me. So that's one little thing. Now, back to the idea of the artist date. Why is that? Why does that qualify for an artist date? Like rummaging through flea markets or antique stores, just happening upon maybe a piece of, you know, a 33 album that you can take home and enjoy. part of that is because of the visual nature of it, obviously, because, you know, the album cover art was always a big thing when we were coming up, and it's fun to look at those and think about them. The other thing is it's so tangible. You can open up an album, and we can't do this with our DVDs or, you know, or with our nowadays our only digital music, MP3s and movies, MP4s. You can't really open anything up and read the, you know, the leaf anymore, the fly leaf or the, you know, the inside of the cover, the sleeves. And so you can open an album up and you can spend time absorbing the artist's lyrics and thoughts and, you know, the art and the images and the meaning of the music when they were making it. So this is, you know, you can get very involved in a way that you didn't. And of course, other funny things have happened along that journey is I might be completely caught up in my own thoughts and being quiet and exploring this, and someone will walk up and say, ah, that was a great album. You know, so people want to get into that space too, because there are a lot of us of a certain age that enjoy the nostalgia of albums and you know, generations of music that went before. That's one idea of an artist date that has been joyful for me. Another might be something visual. Of course, I'm working on the yard. The house was completely done, and it's beautiful. It's just as sweet as it can be, and completely restored 1963 postmodern home that in California would probably cost $400,000, but in Arkansas is about a third that. and a beautiful yard, but I want to sculpt in the yard and do something. So I have been methodically sort of allowing myself to go to gardens and plant stores, and I've started with potted plants, but I've also sketched out some hardscaping to create pathways and stones and patios in the backyard, or a patio in the backyard, and other visual spaces that would be full of color and life and habitat for, you know, butterflies and birds and bees and other pollinators for sure. But then there are plenty of birds around, and the place that I chose to live is almost like a forest. So it's there's plentiful wildlife, but the challenge has been carving out spaces where there's enough sunshine to encourage, you know, the flowers and the other colorful things. So I'm working on that, and it's been a creative project. It's been a great joy, and that process of creation and taking pictures and you know, researching the plants and what will grow well where, and imagining the different textures and colors and heights and growing seasons and flowers versus vegetables versus, you know, trees and all that has just been an amazing journey for me. So Art Estate can be about creating spaces and doing generative type work where you're focused. And so for some people that might be painting, you know, blank canvas. And I'm thinking of my yard as the blank canvas now, but a lot of people will use the Art Estate to learn to paint or to, you know, do some kind of cross stitch or, you know, crocheting or just anything with their hands or creative. There are so many crafts. There are so many things you can do now and so many ideas on Pinterest and Etsy and on and on and on. The other day, I also now have a day job and I work for a state agency where one of the benefits of working there, and I still have my side gigs, by the way. I'm still coaching and still teaching as an adjunct professor and still sometimes working for clients in California when I can get to it. But the this agency gives us access to webinars of just about anything that the state offers. And so through the University Agricultural Extension, they have courses that you can take or webinars you can attend for free to learn about plants and native plants and cultivars and anything you possibly want to know. And so, and you can do that during your lunch break, you know, at this day job. So there's so much if you just look around that you can learn that's new or that you can get excited about or you can fill your time with. And, of course, me being the kind of compulsive nature person that I am, I started hiking and just trying to find the tallest peaks in Arkansas because they're nothing like the ones in California. In California, they're 7,000, 8,000 feet. Here, the tallest one is 3,000, but it's beautiful. And so I went to the tallest peak. A couple of weeks later, I discovered where the second tallest peak was and went there. And along the way, because a lot of these are in state parks, I went into the gift shop and bought a little trinket, and I was talking to the girl who works for the state parks, and she said, "Well, do you have your state park passport?" I said, "No, what's that?" She pulled out this little book. It's the size of a travel passport, and she opened it up, and she said, "Every time you go to a state park in Arkansas, you get a stamp." And this one happened to be, at the second tallest peak at that state park, but you open up and there's 52 state parks in Arkansas, and they're lakes, they're mountains, they're battlefields, they're museums, they're all variety of cultural and historic and natural places to visit. And I kind of laughed and I said, "Well, I've already been to a couple of these. Can you give me stamps for them, or do I need to go back and visit them and get original stamps?" Because she said, "You got to go back."
Oh my goodness!
But But I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to actually visit all 52 parks because there's such a variety, and it would keep me busy for a while. And also, it allows me to see the state that I was born in and lived in for 30 years and actually never got to explore before. I mean, rarely got to explore. So if I intentionally go about, and it's just, it's magnificent. I cannot tell you how fun, Linda, it has been. 2 weeks ago, I booked a cabin, didn't know anything about it, and this was in Mena, Arkansas, which is in the western part of the state I'd never been to, and show up in Mena, and it's this eclectic, funky little town, kind of like in California. I'm trying to think of an equivalent. Everything in California is so chichi, but some of the smaller towns that are not as chichi, like maybe Santa Paula in the Central Valley, some place like that, that is a little more country, but also friendly. And they had their little art galleries, and they had, you know, antique stores and some cute coffee cafes. And I'm walking down the street. I'm meeting everybody because, you know, that's how I am. I go in and talk to people. When I have my mask on, I'm just like chit-chatting. And, well, what brought you here and where'd you come from? Doing my little, you know, story gathering while I'm going up and down the street. And then I walk in, cannot believe in this tiny little town in Arkansas, in the western part of the United States, I mean the western part of the state, where it's just it's in the mountain range, and these are about 3,000-foot high mountains, so they're not hugely tall, but Mena is down at the bottom of the mountain, of the Washtenaw Mountains. There's a coffee shop on the main street that has been put in and made really cute by, of all things, this kid is like 28 years old. He graduated from Washtenaw Baptist University, which, by the way, does not encourage, as a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, does not encourage drinking coffee or the other business that he had figured out how to open, which was a craft brewery. So coffee shop, craft brewery, and pizza in this really cute, really nice, well done, completely off the charts. Couldn't believe it was in Mena, Arkansas. Could easily fit in any college town in California. And I'm in this place, and I said, what in the world? How did you do this? This is a dry county. Okay, so in Arkansas, there are still counties where you cannot buy alcohol. Not just not buy them on a Sunday. That's the blue law where you can't buy alcohol on a Sunday. But I mean the whole county. There is not one place where you can buy even a beer except in a restaurant. But so he had managed to not only sell the beer but to create a brewery because a law was passed here in 2019 where it was allowable with certain conditions. So, for example, the windows that face Main Street were completely clouded and blocked out because if he serves beer inside the restaurant while they're having pizza or whatever, someone from the outside is not allowed to see the beer from the street.
Okay.
Yes, this is how it is here. And in that dry county. And so anyway, I learned all this by talking to him, and then he introduced me to his father. And I'm having this great conversation with the whole family about this kid who's just an amazing entrepreneur and in the oddest of little towns that you just wouldn't believe that you would find it in this tiny little sort of cow town. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that, again, I didn't have anything to really share today except that I've allowed myself on this journey to just explore and try to allow myself that tension between settling in at home and just wanting to nest and create my beautiful space and my cute little new house and yard and go out and explore for those simple pleasures where you're celebrating nature, it's a pristine setting, you're meeting people who are living these full, rich, simple lives elsewhere, and they're challenging your assumptions, you know. Meeting entrepreneurs in Mena, Arkansas, you know, who left their busy lives, some of them from Dallas, Texas, you know, to to put their money and their new life into this tiny little town. Some of the people I met up and down the street, there was a lot of Texas money there, by the way, because it's only about a four-hour drive from Dallas,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 hours, I guess. But, you know, the world, even in this tiny microcosm of a backwards kind of, I was, say backwards, Arkansas has a reputation of being a backwards state, and yet, remember when I was coming up, my governor, the first time I could vote, was for Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton, the year I moved to California, was running for president of the United States, and so, you know, I never thought of Arkansas or being from Arkansas as anything that was limiting, because we all just went for it, including, mm-hmm. you know, our governor, and so the rest of the world looks at Arkansas and says, there's nothing there and there's nobody there who's worth anything. And then people from Arkansas just say, well, you just had never visited. And if you ever visited, you'd never want to leave. And so there is something to that. And I'm finding that it's been a delightful journey to rediscover my home state and to not only learn about it for the first time at this sort of deep micro level, but to also get to see and hear and enjoy the stories of so many people who did stay. I left and came back, but so many of the people I'm meeting stayed and have made their lives and created their own energy and their own legacy and their own excitement about, you know, their uniqueness. One of the things that you and I have talked about before is the concept of you-ness, like Linda-ness and Karen-ness, you know, and
right.
and that when you fulfill your you-ness, you really are just being you, and you're sharing all of your gifts and talents and assets and strengths and love with the world. And so if I've learned anything in the 6 months that I've been here sort of beating the streets and, you know, pushing through the underbrush and, you know, hacking away in the woods to get to the places I want to see the views of the river valley and just sort of rummaging through this beautiful hidden gem in the center of the country, what I've learned is that it's never too late to love a place. I never thought I could leave California. I
mm-hmm.
never did. And
mm-hmm.
I really didn't think I could make that change, and it has not been easy. But the writing in the journal and fulfilling the artist dates and taking time to enjoy the simple pleasures and to engage in discussions with strangers, people outside
mm-hmm.
your comfort zone. I mean, you would
yeah.
be surprised how many people just open up just because there's somebody interested in hearing their life story. And I could
well,
go on
because
right. yeah,
you're showing an interest. That's how I've lived my life. I don't ever meet a stranger. And
right.
I'm so glad to hear you talking about the newness and the beauty of the exploring. But when you talked about the music, and now you know I have to have the music of any time. And people say, well, why do you play old school? Because old school to me sends a message because I was in that era of entertaining, being an entertainer, moving, dancing, performing, those things tell a story. They all tell a story. I like any genre of music, but I like to go back, you know, because usually when you go back, and I noticed that the young adults, see, most of the children had to grow up hearing this song in their baby crib, so they're familiar with this because their moms were listening to it. So when you speak of that music, KB, it's something that puts it there and it leads to a way of life. And you said your creative dates. I said, I want to know, what's this artist date? You know, I've always journaled. We've always talked about it. I write every day. I don't care if it's a
yeah.
stupid line. I write it. And I put it in a folder, and it's called my voice. And so when I write these things down, however way it comes, I put them in there. That's relaxing to me. to go and do that. You know, we've been back with Waking Up with Linda McShann. We've been up and gone for a year, which had started way back in 2013, and then there was a break. But this was started to encourage people and bring Karen and Sharon to help us pull through this thing. So it's opening up. But Waking Up with Linda McShann has to continue to go because we have a lot there. And I had one friend, oh, well, are you going to continue to do the show? Excuse me? Excuse me, we're Karen and Sharon here. What my dilemma, it's not a dilemma. It's like moving into that next level. To go out and do things. But when you talk about the way of life and the newness, I just like the idea of decorating the house and only dealing with the abundant living. I'm in that now. You know, if it don't make me happy, it has to go. I find myself more into plants because if I go plant shopping, they see me come and they all run and say, here she comes. You don't want to go to her house because they'll be doing your obituary, right? So I was never good with plants, but I'm finding out that when I, the more I yearn for that life and like the nature and nurture, that they're thriving around me. So that's like a new exciting thing for me. Okay, it didn't turn yellow. It didn't die. Oh, I'm getting good where I go back and forth and talk to the, I have certain places that I buy my plants and I'll go say, the baby is sick and what can we do? And they give me little, take your picture and, you know, they just sort of like keep me going to dig or to plant or anything of that nature. I would have a landscape of rocks and bricks. It would not be in a lawn out there. And the same way if I had a daughter, I said, when if I would have had a daughter, she would have been wearing the natural all through life because mama cannot plait, okay? And I think back on that, to any type of braiding, I say she would have been in the natural. That girl would have been in a ponytail every day of her life. And I think about it, you know where your niche is. And it's, it doesn't make me happy to have to think about doing it. But I've been seeing your pictures and your postings, and everything is so beautiful. All the artist spaces, the paintings, the mountain. I know you like to hike. I see the beautiful mountains. Now I will hold your purse and wait for you to come back down off of that hill, okay? And I'll just be waiting down there with the water and a paper
There's
towel.
No purse. There's no purse. I don't take anything with me that I can't put in my pockets or in a fanny pack or in a, you know. But no, it's, you're right. And what it is it's everything I'm sharing on my Facebook, and we're friends, that's why you see it. Obviously, I don't start sharing with everybody, but it's either, I guess it is a reflection of this, the visuals, the things that I go to see, and then the physical, the things that I go to do, and then these other, the new things, the creations are the things that I make. So isn't that interesting? You just helped me sort of summarize that. I've been seeing, doing, and making.
Yes.
And I think that it has required me to stay in the present and not to get too heavy on dwelling and what ifs and all the things that we worry about that make us anxious or you know, doubting or having self-doubt. Or, you know, and the other thing is that you and I have unpacked this in the past too, Linda, is that I think when I finally talked about it with you, where we were saying, you know, just because you fail doesn't mean you failed. It actually means you just learned something and you just kept going.
That's it. There's
and
no such thing as failing.
Yeah, and so many people get stuck in that, I'm not
successful. I can't stand it. I can't stand it, and what irritates me, not cutting you off, when you say that word failure, or when you say that word timing, or when those are out there making assumptions, you know, there is no time on your desire. There's no time set on that, on your accomplishments, on your whatever. It's not a time frame. And most individuals feel that, and they come at you with that. And when you tell them, excuse me, I'm not in a rush for that, and if I wanted to do that, I would be doing it, don't you think? So I don't need you to try to.
Well, that's right. and it's weird for me to think about one of the ways that you can be successful in your own life is to not set goals. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Not set goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're gonna, your success, it depends, and I'm looking at it. We got about maybe 12 minutes to go, but you always come on, and I know our time frame is different, but I love doing Cross Country Connect because we're not right here in one spot. There's people all over, and I'm fortunate enough to do just what you talk about. Wherever I go, I meet people. So I might be talking to somebody from Alaska tomorrow or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. That's enjoyable to me, and I find out that when you open up, you can open up people when you want to hear about them. And when you show an interest, well, what is your culture like? Well, what do you eat on this holiday? You will begin to get a conversation going because there is, oh, yes. She wants to know. Oh, she's listening. I cannot stand that me, and I, and this and this and this. Those type of individuals are very secure individuals to me, and they have no caring for anyone else. I like to know, what do you like to eat on New Year's Day? Or how do you consult to this? I had a lady that I was buying something from yesterday, and she said, this is how you eat it. And I said, good, when I go visit my friend, I'm going to have her cook this, and I'm going to show her I know how to eat it. I was so excited that I learned the cultural way to do it. So now I can put a smile on her face. You know, hey, guess what? Let's fix this. Yeah. And then when I demonstrate. So it's very, very important. But there was something that you stated about I'm trying to go back to the inside. When my friend Yoshi always say, don't give up, get up. Okay, you know, that's that young blood, that millennium. She come on in here and say it in a few minutes, but you understand what she's saying. And then you're saying mm-hmm. the same thing. It's not to set goals. But when people...
Just be.
You want to set a
don't
goal.
Don't set goals, just be.
Just do
be
it.
Be yourself.
Do it. What do you have to do?
Yes, just do it. Just do it and think less about it. In other words, some people get paralyzed because they overthink things. And so the better way to be in life is just to know who you are and celebrate who you are. Share who you are.
Right.
And then the dreams will come. Like watching that kid run in that coffee shop. 28 years old, he was him.
Yes.
That's who he is.
He was him.
That
he was
is
doing
fulfilling,
his thing.
Doing his thing. And he did say he went to Seattle and got trained in the art of sourcing fair trade
mm-hmm.
coffee and wanted to do
mm-hmm.
it with a cause in mind. And he had a mission. He has a personal mission and sort of ministry from his Baptist faith growing up in Arkansas. And so, But the thing that he figured out how to do was how to turn that into a place of community and welcoming. And, oh, by the way, when I was there, it was a very diverse customer base. And I mean, in every sense of the word, there were about a dozen Amish people there in full garb.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Which you also,
yeah, you're bringing it
you
together.
Also don't expect. To see, yeah, you don't expect to see Amish people in full garb in Mena, Arkansas, in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to switch around on that. And KV, I always call you Professor Barrett. I will always call you Professor Barrett. I met you as my professor, one of my mentors to go through. We're going to have to wrap down. And I'd like to have you tell us, as you said, the suggestions. Give us three, four things that we can look forward to, and we're going to do this again. So if I could have you tell us that about success, goals, or creativity, what can we say?
Well, there's just a couple of things that are more – these are my simple rules for abundant living, and there are 10 of them, but I'll just share it, pull up a couple of them. One is
– okay.
And I want to summarize. We said listen – see, do, and make. So if we just kind of hone in on the things that we discovered while we were chit-chatting. So let me just add these to that framework. Speak in life-giving words at the right time and with purpose. And another one, again, because of my discoveries in this strange and wonderful place, challenge your outdated assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say celebrate nature in as pristine a setting as you can get to safely, because you don't want to hurt yourself. Celebrate nature in as pristine a setting as you can get to safely, which, by the way, even though the peaks are not higher in Arkansas like they are in California, they're less crowded. So that is welcome to me. So celebrate nature in as pristine and lonely a setting as you can get to safely. And then I would say the other thing that has come full out of my 10 that has come fully into focus on this part of my journey is to bestow tender loving care on the grown-ups, children, pets, and plants in your life, which also goes to what you were talking about with the cultivating and nature and nurture, you said, but I had written it as bestow tender TLC on the grown-ups, the children, the pets, and the plants in your life.
Wow.
So that's one of the four that I picked today were just sort of related to our wide-ranging sort of discussion. And thank you for reminding me about the journaling. I have fallen off on my journaling because that day job I've chosen, I have to be there at 7 in the morning. And even if I get up at 5, sometimes I'm still running to get there by 7. So I haven't been doing that as religiously, but the art estates, I have been conscientiously keeping my commitments to those, and they just created explorations and stories and a richness in my experiences here in Arkansas that I could not have predicted and I couldn't have planned. So it's been a real joy. It's been a real joy.
Well, what you've done, you did, you see, and you're taking action on it, and you're there. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to send you some links to Stephanie Haynes comes on, and we talk about balancing through going through the chakras. I want you to listen to that. And then my nature girl, I call her nature girl, she comes on, she talks about the butterfly, she talked about the elephant, she talks about the spider, but it's the way that she connects it in, and I know that you'll enjoy them because you are about that nature. I call her nature girl. So when I scan down Facebook and I see your postings, you know I don't put anything out there. Only the show you can go in and listen because of the technology and all of this stuff that's going on around, you know, what do we call it, hacking and all that. I say, well, hack me. All you're going to hear is shows, and I hope you like them. So I do scan down and listen to others. And if I need to get with you, I'll text you or send you an email. I'm just not about putting all of that out there, but I'll send you those links through text and let me know that you've received them, because that's where you are. And like I said, I see it in your eyes. I see it in your face. We miss you to death. And I see that happiness. Aww. I see that glow. I see the beauty, the rearrangements, you know, your new home. Like I said, if I had to put plants or grass in the front yard, it won't be there. It'll be rocks and it'll be statues because
Asked my neighbors about that. I said, I really want a xeriscape. I want to do low or drip water. I said, do you mind if I take the lawn out and put some decompressed granite like I had in California? And they said,
they don't
said,
like
go
that.
Ahead. They said, go ahead. But then I ended up talking to a landscape person and got talked out of it, because the other thing you would have to do then, quite frankly, is put in an irrigation system, and it's a big hassle. It's a big deal. Yeah. Here in Arkansas, it wasn't a big deal in California. We did it above ground, and it was really easy. But here, it's a big deal. And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna mess with that. So I'll just keep the back lawn, and I'm keeping the front lawn, but putting some planters out there so I can grow cut flowers and veggies. And in the backyard, I'm going to let a lot of what would have been grass, but the trees grow so much, there's not much that can grow back there. So I'm going to turn that into, if it works, you know, wildflowers and the things that encourage pollinators. And then, of course, there's the hardscaping that we're doing now that's carving out the space so that it will be a little fairyland. It'll be a little fairyland, but it'll be somewhat sculpted. But then there will be parts of it that are truly intended to stay wild. Nobody's going to see my backyard except my two closest neighbors. So we're gonna make it my fantasy land.
I understand. So when I come and visit Arkansas, we can hide out in the backyard, and they can say she has a visitor. And do the only thing I remember about Arkansas was visiting Fort Smith, Arkansas, when I was visiting my in-laws, and they had one light blinking in the city of the town, and I just could not deal with it.
You are welcome anytime, and it's quiet over here in Lakewood. We can walk down to the 6 lakes that are within walking distance.
Oh, yeah, and I love lakes.
And yes. I'll have my hammock hung for you by then, Linda.
Okay, good. Fix it. Put some ropes on the side so when, you know, I don't want to swing out and fall on the ground, because you know how it is. When I come to relax, I believe in relaxing. And on that note, KB, Karen Berg, life coach, a person that followed her own advice. She's been advising and mentoring and instructing and guiding and very, very good at it, but took a notion of her own advice and has shared with us this evening about the changes, about the creativity, and especially about the artist dates and breaking that tension between that balance and moving into the next level. We appreciate you coming on, KB. I'm going to call you KB's date. I'm not going to call you Professor Bird, but that's what I know you as. I'm saying Professor Bird, KB, life coach, please, please enjoy. I'll be calling you back, getting this in. And what I do, I just put like a little summary out there of what's happening, because I want people to listen and get word for word on that. So I've learned how to scale myself down and try not to misstep or misswerve, and I'm guiding them there to listen. So when I summary it up, I'll send you a copy. You tell me what you think. And I'll put it out there for you. And this is called Cross Country Connect. And this is Karen Bird, life coach from, where is it? Are you in Little Rock, Arkansas? Am I correct?
North Little Rock. They call it Dogtown.
Downtown. Oh, she's from Downtown.
Dogtown.
Arkansas.
Dogtown.
Dogtown?
The people in Little Rock jokingly call North Little Rock Dogtown. But North Rock has a proud historic heritage, and it is delightful. And now that I live here, I think it's actually the preferred place to live. Little Rock's gotten big. It's 250,000 people.
Okay.
Lakewood, North Rock is 60,000 people. Very friendly, very pleasant. The lakes, everything. So.
Well, I'm gonna have to come in. I'm going to have to come and visit. And on that note, we're going to tell you to go on and relax and enjoy your nature. We're going to have to say bye for right now, but we will be getting in touch. This is Cross Country Connect with Karen Bird, life coach, coming on, telling you how to make those changes, deal with that tension, and challenge and change your inner world. Karen, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to play this song
love
for you.
Too.
Stay on.
Thanks,
and
Linda.
Listen. Stay on.
Okay.
Good night.
All right.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Only like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away. Burn your eyes, better look deep.
all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, we love all through the land.